Well, a big part of our life consists of growing up, right? But when we think about growing up, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. Now, if you got kids, it seems like it does. It happens overnight, especially when it comes to buying clothes, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that we have to go through in order to actually grow up. For us to grow up, it takes repetition, right? There's things that we have to do over and over and over. It also takes some ability to learn and a willingness to learn, that I'm willing to learn some things in my life. How many of you guys struggled with that at some point where you were a little unwilling to learn and it caused it to take just a little longer to grow up in a certain area? Also, when we look at growing up, sometimes you're required to learn some little things before you can move on to more advanced things. And I find this to be real and true when if I start a new hobby, right? If you're going to try to play guitar, everybody wants to be able to just grab a guitar and just like play a song and do all the cool stuff. But it's like if you don't learn the fundamentals and the basics, you can't do that other stuff. It just doesn't work that way. And it's the same with growing up. You can't just grow up. You got to work on the building blocks. And I suppose that's why it takes some people so long, right? Because they try to skip steps or they're resistant to learning. And that's why other people just don't want to grow up, right? They don't want to put the work in to growing up. How many of you guys remember the work that you put in to grow up? It doesn't just happen. So some people just don't even want to do it. And then there's this thing about growing up that now, if you grow up, once you do, now more is expected of you. And how many of you are like, man, sometimes I wish I didn't grow up. Nobody asked me to do anything whenever I was irresponsible. Nobody ever asked me to do anything when I was undependable and couldn't be counted on, right? So you grow up now because you can do more. You're expected to do more. And so if you think about all this in our everyday, natural, practical living, let's apply that over to our spiritual life. Do you realize that you also have to grow up spiritually? And do you realize that that doesn't always coincide with growing up naturally? Because you can have a 20-year-old that is very spiritually mature, and you could have somebody that's 60 or 80 that is very spiritually immature, right? Because we don't always start that process at the same point in our lives. And so it has actually very little to nothing to do with age and more to do with have we gone through the process at whatever point in life that we're in. It's a process for everybody. So today I want to look at how Jesus grew up and see what lessons we can learn from his process. So we'll be in Luke chapter 2 today. And in Luke chapter 2, before the verse I'm going to share, we find this story where Joseph and Mary, they bring Jesus and the rest of the family back to Nazareth. Now what Luke doesn't tell us, kind of skips over this part, but we do see it in Matthew, is what is the reason that they have to come back to Nazareth? There was a reason that they left. They didn't just go on a vacation. Like, they moved away and now they're returning. Why was that? Well, they had to flee to Egypt because when Jesus was a young child, remember, Herod was going to kill every boy that was 2 years old and under because he was trying to get rid of this king, this Messiah, because he was like, I'm the king. There will be no other. And so God tells Joseph, go, move, go to Egypt, get out of here, because Herod is going to try to kill Jesus. But now we find ourselves at this point in Luke chapter 2 where Herod is dead and God gives word that it's okay, it's safe to return, go back to Nazareth. So that's where we pick up here today in Luke chapter 2 verse 40. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Right as they return, It says they did all the things that God had commanded them to do in verse 39, and the child grew. It's interesting how that just gets thrown in there. Like, they come back to Nazareth and the child grew. I read that and I think, well, no kidding, the child grew. I mean, it's got to happen. It's a natural part. But I think it's there to help us to remember and reflect upon the fact that, did you realize that Jesus lived a normal life from a natural standpoint, that he had to grow up? Jesus was born as a baby. He had to grow up. He didn't just go from birth to 12 years old, where we see this story right here, and then from 12 years old to 30 years old, where he starts his ministry. And I think there's times where we read through and there's so little about his childhood that we just kind of think it doesn't happen. He's born as a baby, and the next thing you know, he's ministering to people and healing the sick and casting out demons. But he had to grow up. There's a period of his life that he had to go through these processes, and he had to grow up. Think about the fact that Jesus had to learn to walk and talk and be able to hold the spoon to feed himself. He had to learn to go potty. I don't know what they called it then, but he had to learn to do that. He had to learn to do all the other things that a baby has to learn to become a child. And then he had to learn all the things that a child has to do to become an adult. And he did this in the midst of real hardship. Because we don't hear a lot about the story of Jesus' childhood, I think we forget again how hard it was, how difficult it was. We just think, man, well, Joseph and Mary were this great couple that were godly, and God thought really highly of them and gave him Jesus, so he must have had a great childhood. He's just, 2 years old or so, and they had to move to another country so he didn't get killed. There's people looking for him to murder him as a little toddler, as a kid just wandering around. And think about the fact that as they pick up and they moved, that wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy for his family. These circumstances are far from ideal and perfect. But you know what a baby still has to do, even in those circumstances? The baby still has to grow up. It still has to go through that process, even if it's hard and even if the circumstances aren't right. It doesn't matter what the excuses are. And when we look to our spiritual life, it's the same thing, church. There's so many people that are stuck in childhood infancy, and they're like, well, I can't grow up right now because you don't realize how hard my life is. You don't realize the things I'm going through and how difficult it is for me and my family. You're not going through the things I'm going through. Listen, you still got to grow up. You can go through hard things and still grow up. In fact, I would argue that most of those difficult and hard things in your life help you grow up. They aid the process of growing up. And it says that for Jesus, it says, and the child grew. The child grew. Right in the midst of all this, he grew. Something happened here. He comes from an infant to a young boy. That word child literally means infant. So it's the infant grew. The infant went to the next stage. He became a young boy. What happened? How do you go from an infant to a young boy? There's got to be increase in your life. There's got to be steps up that you take in your life, not just in a physical sense, but in a mental sense, and really even in a spiritual sense. There's some abilities that were increased in his life. There's some sort of increase in every area. And when you think about increase, if you're constantly increasing, it ultimately leads to becoming greater. And that's what growing up really is at the end of the day. It's becoming a greater version, a more advanced version, an increase of what you were for a child. Think about the process again. A child starts to sit up. They don't even sit. They just sit up. You can prop them on a pillow and they won't slide over, right? That's the first step. And you're like, oh man, look at him. He's sitting up. And I would be like, move the pillow. He won't sit up anymore. You got him propped up. I remember that with Marissa, and there's all these pictures where she's like, you know, as a baby. And it's like, and then there's somewhere her head's starting to get straight. There's a process, right? They can sit up. Now, if they can sit up, then they start to crawl around when you put them on the floor, right? They roll over to their belly, and they're like, oh, they're on their belly, and that's a huge accomplishment. Really, that's not that big of an accomplishment. It's not that hard to lay on your belly. But babies do it. It's a step in the process. They begin to crawl. Then at some point, they can pull themselves up, and they can stand while holding on to something. And then they go the step after that where they start walking. Really, it's like they're like waddling. You know, they're just like, you're like waiting for them to go down at any moment, right? But that's a step in the process. And then they can actually walk. And the next thing you know, they're running around terrorizing and destroying your entire house, right? That's the process that kids go through. And we see that as natural. That's the natural pattern of growth in their life. You can even take it to them speaking, right? At first, you're excited that your baby makes any kind of noise, right? Just random babbling. It's just like, oh, how cute is that? And I'm like, I guess it's cute. I don't know what they're saying. You know what I mean? It's just noise, okay? But it's the first step in the process of growing up. And then they can say partial words, right? They say partial words, and you kind of know what they mean. You know what they're alluding to in their partial words. Then they can say whole words. Next thing you know, they're speaking sentences. And then they're asking you a million questions and having conversations that you wish sometimes would end. Right? Now, again, that's the process. It's just how it happens. They grow up. Right? They become greater at each of those things that they do. They increase in them. And church, it's no different for us when it comes to our spiritual growth. We can't stay where we are at. We've got to be growing. We've got to be getting greater and increasing in measure in all the areas of our spiritual life. We've got to grow up. Amen? So you might turn to your neighbor and say, grow up. Some of you guys said that kind of loud. If somebody said that to you kind of loud today, okay, take it as a sign, it's time to grow up. All right. But when we look at Jesus, what did this process look like? We're looking at the spiritual side. What does it look like to grow up? Again, verse 40 said, and the child grew, and he became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We're told right here exactly what growing up looks like. He became strong in spirit. Isn't it interesting that they're telling us that a child grew up, and the first thing they say about this child is not that he got taller. It's not that he needed new shoes. It's not that his, you know, his, what do they call that, robe or whatever. I was going to say skirt, but, you know. His robe is not that his robe was too short, right? It's not that he grew up like that. The very first mention has nothing to do with the body. It doesn't say he was strong in body. Nothing about his physical appearance. It says the child grew, first thing, became strong in spirit. Why is that the first thing? Out of the three parts of a person, right, body, soul, and spirit, the very first thing that the Word of God tells us about Jesus is that he grew, he became strong in spirit. To me, that tells us that that's the most important area of your life to grow, is to be strong in spirit. And there's a reason for that. Because when we're strong in spirit, church, the spirit has influence over the other two parts. The spirit has influence. We've got to be strong in spirit. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8 says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Jesus grew up by exercising himself toward godliness. He became strong in spirit. The things that were spiritual which were the things that mattered the most, he increased in those areas of his life. This is the measuring stick that the Word of God uses for growing up. It's the first thing he did. Now, you could be the strongest person physically on the planet. You could be world's strongest man. But let me tell you something. It doesn't profit you anything of value if you're not strong in spirit. It doesn't matter who's the strongest. We do an arm wrestling competition. It doesn't matter who wins. I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to forget that stuff. At the end of the day, this world is going to be gone one day. And what's really going to matter? It's going to be who was strong in spirit. All right, we've been studying heaven in our Wednesday morning Bible study, and we talked about the rewards that you get in heaven, these crowns that you can get, which ultimately we're just going to lay at the feet of Jesus. You don't get those crowns for winning earthly competitions. You get those crowns for being strong in spirit. You get those crowns for doing things for the Lord. This being strong in spirit is so important for us. It's the greatest exercise right here is exercising spiritual things over natural things. We've got to do natural things. And you do need to work out. You do need to exercise. Okay, you do need to do all these things, but how much more so do we need to exercise our spirit? How much more so do we need to be striving toward godliness and given preference to the things of God over the things of man? And of course, this includes things like reading the Bible and praying and worshiping, but real growth actually takes place when those things are integrated into the rest of our normal life. Church, that's being strong in spirit. Being strong in spirit isn't just reading two chapters of your Bible per day. Being strong in the Spirit is letting the Word affect everything you do and say and think all day long. That's being strong in spirit. Now, reading it in the morning is exercising. That's, I'm building it up. I'm working towards something. But applying it to your life and using it throughout your day, that's being strong. Right? Praying in the morning for the people in your family or just that your day goes well, that's good, that's exercise, but praying throughout your day and thanking God for His goodness and being willing to stop and pray for somebody that's in need or something like that, that's being strong in the Spirit. Worshiping before at the beginning of the service or when you turn on a couple songs on the way in your car, that's good and that's exercising, but worshiping God throughout your day, no matter your circumstances, church, that's being strong in spirit. And the Word of God says that Jesus, the child, grew, and the first thing he grew in was that he was strong in spirit. Second thing it says that he was filled with wisdom. This addresses the soul. This goes to the second part, the mind, will, and emotions. Right? He's strong in the spirit, but now he's filled with wisdom. And being filled with wisdom is secondary to being strong in the spirit. Because like the body, it doesn't matter how smart you are or how wise you are or how good all your decisions are if you're not making the right decisions spiritually speaking. Jesus was filled with wisdom. How many of you know this is part of growing up? You come back to the don't touch the stove because the stove is hot, right? Well, that's knowledge. But how many kids will touch it anyway? Even though you've told them, they know. They might even be thinking, it's hot. They might even say, it's hot, and they touched it. Well, the wisdom is knowing that it's hot and then not touching it, right? And so when we think about the things in our life, we've got to know what to do, but we've also got to know how to apply it. And it says that Jesus was filled with wisdom as a part of growing up. The child grew, and he was filled with wisdom. Again, not smarts or knowledge, but how to apply the knowledge. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." If you really want wisdom, it comes from the Lord. If you really want wisdom, James tells us to ask for it and He'll give it to us. Like, no questions asked. He'll give it to anybody. Right? It says that there's no partiality. It's not even like, well, you're going to waste it. I'm not giving it to you. No, it says, if you need wisdom, ask the Lord and He will give it to you. That's a great thing. That's a great promise. But we've got to be filled with wisdom. This is what it says about Jesus. The child grew and he was filled with wisdom. Now that word filled literally means to the brim, and it means to cause God's will to be obeyed as it should. So he was filled to the brim with wisdom, and because of that, it caused him to obey God and his will as he should. Now if you fill a cup of coffee to the brim and walk around the house with it, right? Anybody ever filled something a little too much? You poured it a little too fast and you're like, oh no. You know, I mean, you try to carry it and it's like it's spilling out. I've gone to a restaurant before where they come out and they got the pitcher with the ice and the water in it, and they pour it way too fast and the ice goes everywhere, and the next thing you know, it's just pouring down their hand, and they try to hand it to you with just stuff running all down it, and you're kind of like, you didn't need to fill it that full. You know, you got stuff everywhere. Imagine walking around with something that is that full, all the way to the brim. What happens to it as you walk around? It spills, right? It may not be a lot, but it's going to spill over. You can't fill a cup to the brim and walk around very long without it spilling over. When we are filled to the brim with wisdom, and as we walk around throughout our life, as we do things, it begins to spill out, church. It begins to spill out in the places we go, and it will cause God's will for our lives to be followed and obeyed as it should. That's being filled to the brim with wisdom. That we can't help but make right decisions and right choices and applying knowledge in our lives because we're so full of wisdom that wherever we go, it's pouring out. And when you're in that kind of place, then you can't help but do God's will. You can't help but do what God says as you should. The third thing we see is it says that as the child grew, God's grace was upon him. God's grace was upon him. You know, Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father. He perfectly obeyed the Father. Every minute of his roughly 33 years on earth, every minute of every day perfectly obeyed the Father. You cannot. Say, I cannot. I think it's important that we actually understand that. He did, I cannot. It's not possible for me. Now, you should try, okay? You should try it, but I'm just telling you that you will fail, that you can't do it. It's not possible. And to truly be strong in the Spirit and be filled with wisdom, you've got to be able to get back up and keep going when you fail. You've got to be willing to keep following Jesus even when you have fallen short and you have messed up. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and given your life to Him, you have God's grace upon you. His grace, it's upon you. And I think it's important we understand that it's upon you. This means not just next to you. It's not just available like you could go get it if you need it, but it's upon you like something you wear, like something you walk around in every day. It's upon you. It's available. His loving kindness, right? It's positioned upon you. That means it's with you wherever you go. And you don't have to go get it again. You just acknowledge God's grace is upon me. It's available to me, and I'm going to exercise it right here, right now. We need God's grace, first of all, to be saved. Amen? You've got to have His grace to be saved. There's no other way. But Jesus showed you grace when He died for your sins, but we also need God's grace more than just at the moment of salvation. We need it every single day. Man, I need God's grace every day. Every single day. Sometimes just for my bad attitude. Sometimes I'm just thinking negatively about something and I verbalize that, or I say something to somebody and I'm like, you shouldn't have said that. It's, you know, you thought it and you should have just, it should have stopped right there. That should have been one of those take every thought captive kind of things, but you said it because you were frustrated or you were mad or whatever it is. God, I need your grace, right? I messed up already. You know, sometimes it's not even 7:30 in the morning. Tim's already messed up. God, I need your grace, right? That's all of us. We need God's grace every day. It's essential to growing up. I don't know why we try to do so much stuff on our own whenever the grace of God is upon us. And all we've got to do is say, here I am, Lord. You know, it's me again. You ever think that God gets tired of hearing from you about your mess ups? I do that sometimes. I'm like, okay, it's me again. And he's like, I know, right? He knows. I don't know why we think he's like shocked. He's like, I know, I've been expecting your call, right? He's like, I saw it, you know? You see one kid hit the other kid, and you're just like, you sit over there as a parent, and you're just like, either one of them's going to come tell, or the other one's going to come tell on themselves, right? Xander used to do this when he was little. My mom loves to tell this story, but Xander used to hit Marissa and then go put himself in timeout. See, he's like, I'm going to do it, but then I'm going to punish myself. So it'll all even out. And you'd be like, well, why is he sitting over there? And he's like, I'm in timeout because I hit Marissa, you know? And Marissa's like, that's not fair. He's like, what are we supposed to do? He's already in timeout. Put him in more timeout? I don't know. Like, how do you go beyond that? But think about it when it comes to us, when we have the grace of God upon us, and we can just say, you know what, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I messed up there. I receive your grace, right? And now I'm going to go again, and I'm going to try to keep walking strong in the Spirit and filled with wisdom and keep operating as a child of God. What does that take from us? That takes something. It takes humility. It takes that ability to say, okay, I'm not enough. I can't do that by myself. I need you, Jesus, because I messed up. And praise God, He is faithful to love you anyway. Isn't that one of the most amazing things about Jesus, is that even when you mess up, the grace of God is upon you and He still loves you anyway. He's still kind to you anyway. I think we get this picture of you know, God gets mad at me and is ready to, you know, whip me with the switch or whatever. He's still kind to you. And I'm not saying you don't get disciplined, but He's kind to you. He does things for your good because He loves you. He continues to show grace upon grace upon grace. James 4:6 says, He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. When we're in that place where we're like, God, I don't need to bother God with this because I can handle it on my own, guess what? Then you're going to handle it on your own, because He resists the proud. He's probably like, okay, give it a whirl. See how good this works out. How long until you'll be saying, God, it's me again. You know, and now I got a list. It's like when Sherry will contact me on like a Tuesday, she's got a list of, you know, all the ministries that she's working in. She's like, I got a list of stuff. And I'm like, okay, let's, you know, fire away. And I'm like, I think we're like that with God sometimes. So I'm like, you know what? I can figure this out. I can do this. I can overcome it. I'll just try again. And it's not long before I'm like, God, it's me again with my list. I messed up and I did it a lot. And this is going to take a while. God gives grace to the humble. It takes humility to accept God's grace because we're admitting in that moment that we're not enough and even our best efforts fall short. But man, the Spirit of the living God is within me and the grace of God is upon me. And because of that, even if I fail, I don't fail at all. Right? Because the grace of God is upon me, I will increase, I will grow, I will get greater at the things that I'm doing, not for me, but for Him. Right? I will get greater in the things that I'm doing for Him. So we grow up by being strong in the Spirit, by being filled with wisdom, and then by having the grace of God upon us. That, church, is the process that we go through. These are the things that we're working toward, but then what are the results? Because the results are very exciting. What does it look like if you grow up spiritually? What does it look like if you come to a place of spiritual maturity? Luke 2, verse 52 tells us, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." This right here, church, is the fruit of someone who's matured in the faith. These are the things that come forth in your life. You increase in wisdom. Now, when you say you increase in wisdom, I first read that and I thought, well, how do you do that when you were already filled to the brim and spilling over? Like, how do you increase beyond that in wisdom? That doesn't even make sense. You get a bigger cup or what? You put a cup under it to catch the drippings? I don't really know, but what is going on here? If you're spilling over as you grow up, it doesn't make sense to me that I can increase beyond that in wisdom, but it says that Jesus increased in wisdom. It happened. So what does this mean? It's interesting when you begin to look at the meaning of this Greek word here. This Greek word for increase means to beat forward, to lengthen out by hammering. It's a metal forging term. It says that he increased in wisdom. It got beat out and increased in length by being hammered. Right? How do you forge metal? You got to get it really hot, and then you got to hit it with something harder. Right? You got to hit it with a metal that's harder until it takes the shape that you want it to be. And so the result of growing up spiritually is that over time, as you face difficult situations, as you are in the fire, right, as we say, and you have to figure out what is the godly thing to do, what is the wisdom of God in this difficult situation, this fire that I'm in, as you do that time and time and time again, eventually you get beat forward, right, and get hammered out into the shape that God wants you to be, which is the image of Christ. The more and more you do it, the more you are beat into the image of Christ. Now, don't take that the wrong way, right? It's not like Jesus went to the cross. He took our beating for us physically. It's a shaping. Just think of this as a shaping of your life into the image of Christ. And every time you apply the wisdom of God, it shapes you more and more like Jesus. On top of that, it says one of the benefits or the results of being spiritually mature, of growing up, is that you increase in stature. And again, it's the same metal forging term here, but here it's your stature that gets beat into shape over time. This is your standing in life. This is your status in life, like who you are. The person that you have become gets formed more and more into the image of God. The more respected you become, the more looked up to you are as you become a mature believer, right? This is so important because we need this in the body of Christ, right? We need men and women of God where the other people that come in are like, that's a good goal for me. I would like to be as good of a person as that. And I know somebody right now is thinking, we're not supposed to be like them. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Okay? But who in our life shows us what Jesus looks like? Right? Because not everybody reads the Word and not everybody really studies it and understands it. And sometimes we need a physical example in our lives. And I think of some of the men and women in this church that, you know, over the years that I've learned from. And I'm like, man, if it wasn't for that person, I don't know if I would have grown in this area of my life the way that I have. But they helped me, you know, form my life into the image of Christ. Not perfect. Tested and tried for sure. But having been hammered out more and more into the shape of Jesus Christ. And then the last one, the last result or benefit of growing up in Christ, of maturing in our faith. It says that we will have favor with God and men. Favor with God and men. I don't know about you guys, but I love when I have favor with God and favor with men. There have been situations in my life where I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, but hallelujah, I'll take it. Right? This is a great deal for me. This is a great blessing for me. I can't believe this, but it is what it is, and I'm going to accept it. Favor is grace with reward. See, we already have the grace of God upon us, but it says that when you come to a place of maturity, you actually get favor with God. It's grace with a reward attached to it. Grace is something you don't deserve, so I mean, you didn't earn that anyway. When you get something that you don't deserve with a reward, that's a proof of grace. That's evidence of grace upon our life. And this goes beyond the fact that God loves you and that He's with you. When we see the reward of God in our life, this is a benefit due to what you have done. It's a reward. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, you don't deserve this. I'm not saying you earned it. It's a reward. It's kind of like a bonus. Any of you guys, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want anybody to be asking you for money after church. But has anybody ever got a bonus from work? Right? Has nothing to do with what you did Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Right? You already got your salary for that. You earned that. But then you also got this bonus. Like, man, here, we just want to give you this bonus, this additional reward. Well, did you earn it? Well, you might have. It depends on your career field, I guess. But in a lot of sense, you didn't earn it. It's just a bonus. It's something additional. This is kind of like what favor is. It's not something that you earn, but you did still do the work that was recognized. And because you did do good work, they're like, man, we want to give you something additional. Here's some favor. Here's something extra for what you've done. Now, when we apply that spiritually speaking, what have we done? What have I done as a mature believer that I would be given some kind of bonus from the Lord? You grew up. You did these things. You were strong in the Spirit. You're filled with wisdom, and you exercise the grace of God that's upon your life. And if you do that, man, God is going to show you favor. This person is putting spiritual things first in their life. Here's some favor. This person is exercising wisdom. It's flowing out of them everywhere they go. They're making good decisions, and they're giving people good advice, and they're leading people in godliness, not just in worldly wisdom. Man, here's some reward. Here's some bonus. Here's some extra for your life. This person is exercising the grace of God. They messed up, yeah, but who doesn't? That they get up and they go again, and they mess up and they get up and they go again. Man, God's like, here's some favor upon your life for being a person that will keep going for Jesus no matter how tough it gets. Here's some favor. Now keep going. Well done. Right? That's what favor looks like. This is when things work out that don't make sense. This is when prayers are answered that you think no way anyone can do this. This is when doors are opened that were unexpected and come out of nowhere, and you're like, how did this possibility even enter into my life? How do I have blessing upon blessing? Church, that's favor with God. And then we have this favor that comes not just through God, but it says we also have favor with men. We have people begin to show favor in situations in our lives when we deal with someone and they honor us in a way that doesn't make sense to man. Church, these are results of someone that's mature in Christ. This is result of someone who is growing up and keeps growing up. That's what's produced in our life. And there's so often where we're like, man, I wish I had the favor that that person had. And what I wish we could see in that moment is that God might be looking at us and saying, well, I wish you had the spiritual strength that that person had. I wish you had the overflowing wisdom that that person had. I wish you have the grace of God, but that you exercised it in your life the way that that person has. Because if you would, you would also get the same reward and the same benefit and the same fruit in the end, church. It comes back to us. What are we doing with our life? Are we growing up? Or are we staying stagnant? We don't want to put in the hard work that it takes to grow up. Ephesians 4:13, this is speaking of the gifts of the Son to the church. Then it says that they will be here until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll have these things until we're all perfect like Jesus, to the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, or by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul says we have to grow up, church. Paul says not only do we got to grow up, but we're going to have to keep growing up until the day that we all look exactly like Jesus. And that doesn't happen until you die or the rapture happens, whichever one happens first. Until then, we've all got to grow up and keep growing up. And it's important that we do it, because the only way that the church functions as a healthy body, the way that Christ designed it to function, is that people grow up and do the part that God has called them to do. Till we work together as a functioning unit. Until we stop looking at who's doing what and we say, man, I'm doing my part and there's lack here and there's need there and I'll do those things too. Our goal right here is to grow up spiritually and recognize what is my place in the body of Christ. What is my place? What is my function to grow together in the body? So this morning, that's the question for you, is how is your growth going? Where am I at in this growing up process? And listen, we all have to start at the beginning. We all start as babies. You don't need to stay a 30, 40, 60-year-old baby. Right? At some point, you got to grow up. At some point, you've got to start to take responsibility for yourself. And so, if you would stand with me, I want to ponder these couple of questions as we close. If you would just close your eyes and bow your heads, and I just want you to think about these. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to our hearts right now. Lord, that you would reveal to us where we are at in each of these areas of our growth. Would you speak to us, convict us? Think about right now, how strong am I in spirit? How strong am I in spirit? Am I in the place that I need to be? Do I really put God above everything else? Do I really put eternal things above earthly things to the degree that I know that I should? Lord, would you bring conviction upon us if that's an area that we need to grow this morning? How about the wisdom of God? How full, ask yourself, how full am I of the wisdom of God? Am I full of the wisdom of God to the point that it's overflowing? Am I full to the brim where as I walk around this world and I encounter people and situations that the wisdom of God can't help but to spill out? Is that where you're at, or are you lacking in the wisdom of God? Because if you are, the Word of God tells us today that we need to ask for it. So I want you to be bold and brave today and humble today and say, God, will you give me wisdom? Will you fill me up? Fill my cup today. Lord, I want to be in that place of overflowing. And if you're finding those places, maybe for you it's, do you in humility acknowledge and apply the grace of God that is upon your life? Maybe for you, you need to ask the Lord today and say, God, I know that the grace of God is upon my life, but would you help me to remember that in the times that I feel like giving up? Would you help me to remember that in the times that I feel, and that instead of feeling bad for myself, or instead of receiving the condemnation of the enemy who tells me I'm not good enough, would your grace wash over me in a way that says, here's a hand, get back up, and let's do it again. God, would you help us to find our place in this growth cycle, that we could truly become who you created us to be. Church, today's a day to seek, to knock, to ask the Lord to help you grow in these areas. To help you grow so that you can live a life that results in an increase in wisdom and an increase in stature that results in favor with both God and with men. And Father, we ask today that as you speak to each and every heart in this place, that this is all about Jesus. It's all to conform us to the image of Christ. And for those who maybe haven't even taken that first step, they haven't even been born again, I pray today is the day that they would encounter your love, that they would realize they're created on purpose. Lord, that you love them and you desire fellowship and relationship with them, that you can heal them, that you can redeem them, that you can restore them, that you can shape them and form them into something good. And Lord, even right now where they stand in their brokenness and in their mess, that they're valuable. That even right now, in the midst of addiction, in the midst of their sin, that they have worth, that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. He came to save sinners. He came to set the captives free. And so, Lord, I pray for any within the sound of my voice here or online that today they would recognize the love of God in their life and they would surrender all that they have and all that they are to King Jesus. But Lord, for the rest of us, God, would you show us where we're at in this growth cycle and what our need is for you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.